I just came to praise the name of Savior, for his love divine. Yes, he is worthy of all praise that man can give him. He who rules this world.
Rolls his heart and mind. Oh, he Well, as you can see, I'm not Brother Smith. His wife is real sick. Sister Smith's real sick tonight. And trying to take care of her and Sister Bonnie Smith. So we're going to miss him tonight. It's just not the same when Daddy's here. Without Daddy, is it? But we do our best, don't we? We come and we work and we labor, and we wait for the Lord to show up, and He usually does. He's looking for a people, looking for a church to invite Him in. I wanted to say it's good to have Brother Vaughn here tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm thankful for all of you. And I feel like that song, he's worthy of all praise that man can give him. Unfortunately, I can't give him enough praise. If I was to, I kind of feel like Luke when he wrote this. He said, I suppose if everything that Jesus had ever done were written in books or volumes, the world couldn't contain all of them. Well, that's how I feel tonight. When I first started serving God, Brother and Sister Crow, that was not near as long ago as y'all did, but I remember I got saved when I was 16, and I had something to thank God about. The older I get and the more life's experiences I go through, I'm starting to realize what God, the great thing that He's done for us and the manifestation of His Son. I remember when I first came to the body, we just moved to Texas, and there was a brother in church. He kept asking me, what did Jesus come to do? Simple question, ain't it? It's really not. That's a big question. It takes a big answer. And I always told him, I said, well, He came to die on the cross to forgive us of our sins. And he said, is that all? And he really got me thinking. And the longer I stayed here, the more I found out about what He came to do. I found out they started showing me scriptures right there in the New Testament. I can think of two, maybe even three. One of them and I would love to have friends. I think I do have friends like this. It's a couple of us up here were talking about having money and friends and good looks and their health. And I said, well, I'm glad I still got my good looks. And I could tell they weren't agreeing with me. And they said, well, money won't buy good looks, or it won't buy friends. But I am thankful that we're in a body, we're in a church that if you need a place to stay, if you need somebody to help you, we got plenty of hands here. One time, Jesus's disciples came to Him. They said, Lord, we've left everything. We've left houses and lands and jobs. Many of us here have done that. We've left jobs. We've left houses. They said, we've left mothers and fathers, family and children. And they said, what's our reward going to be? And Jesus said, in this life you'll have 100-fold. And in the world to come, you'll have eternal life. But it's nice to know that I've got brothers and sisters. There's mothers and fathers in here that over the years they've been like a mother and a father to me. And then I've never been without a place to sleep. Thank God that He takes care of us naturally. But this one young man, he had good friends, and he was lame. He was lame from his birth. You know, the amazing thing is we read over those stories of Jesus and we never stop to consider why some of these. You know, there was one place that says in the scriptures, it says everybody that came to Him were healed. I can't imagine how many people were. There must have been thousands. Can you imagine if there was somebody out on the streets, maybe on Colonel Glenn, or maybe down on University, or maybe standing off on the corner somewhere, 6:30, you know, and people would just bring sick people to Him, and it didn't matter if you were blind or if you were lame or... It just wouldn't matter that you were healed. What an uproar that would create. But they didn't mention that. They just said everybody was healed that came there. But there were certain miracles. I've got no doubt there was thousands and thousands of people who were healed during the ministry of Christ. But it only mentions a certain few of them. And the reason is, they were, if you read in Hebrews, it says that in the Old Testament, everything that happened to the people back there, Samson and Jonah and Moses and all those great stories, David and Goliath, the building of the temple, the children of Israel wandering around in the wilderness, Adam and Eve, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, all those things, they really did happen. I believe every one of those things happened. But he said all those things happen for our examples, that they're types and they're shadows of heavenly things. Those things, they did really happen to people, but God caused those things to happen to those people to help us even down here. Now, it was a big help down there to those people when Jonah got delivered from the belly of that fish. And when David slew Goliath, God really did help David. But that is a type and a shadow of what's going on down here, not just down here, but in the Jewish world also. He said all those things happen because God is trying to reach his people. It's not God's desire that anybody should perish. It's God's desire that all should come to know his Son, Jesus Christ, that all might be conformed and changed into the image of his Son, and that they might go to heaven. That's what Jesus said. He said, I've come to prepare a place for you, that where I am, not where I'm going to be, but he said, where I am now. And that was a condition. He said, where I am, you may be also. And that's his desire, is that where he was when he was walking around in shoe leather, that we could be in that same condition. That's why Paul said, we've been made to sit down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you know that you can be in a heavenly place and you don't even have to be in church? You could be on the job. You could be out somewhere. I'm a plumber by trade. My son's a plumber by trade. That's kind of a rough trade. Then there's some of the other men in here, Brother Pryor. He's kind of in a rough trade. Some of these mechanics aren't always stellar, upstanding people. Sometimes you get around rough people in the construction industry and the maintenance part of it. Maybe you have some of that at your work, but did you know that you can take a little bit of heaven with you when you get up in the morning? You can take that. You can take that to work with you, because heaven, there is a place where God is that the Bible calls third heaven. That's why Paul said, I knew a man above 14 years ago, and I think he was talking about himself. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but such a one was caught up into paradise onto third heaven. You know, the Bible talks about third heaven. It talks about paradise. And in the book of Revelation, in the 21st chapter, it said first heaven and first earth were passed away. Well, it just makes sense, don't it, that if there's a first heaven and if there's a third heaven, somewhere in between there is a second heaven. And the Bible calls that paradise, which is a condition. And that's why Paul said, we've been made to sit down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're in a heavenly place. You can be in a place that's called paradise. That's what we're striving to get into. That place back there where the early church was, that's why Paul said, I have not failed to deliver unto you the whole counsel of God. And then they had the Spirit of God without measure. And then they had the gifts of the ministry, the fivefold ministry, which the Bible calls the powers of the world to come. It was working in a full manifestation of God. In fact, that church back there, Jesus told them, and I don't know of anybody that Jesus has told this to yet, but he told those 12 men back there, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. And in the book of John, it even goes on to say, and whoso sins you remit will be remitted. Brother, you talk about heaven standing with you. You talking about being in a paradise condition with God, that God got those men, those 12 men, and not just those 12 men, but the body of Christ back there. Started out the body of Christ on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 of them. Did you know they started out small? And that's why the Bible says, despise not the day of small things. If you were to look at those 120 back there, you thought they're never going to amount to anything because they're just fishermen and just tax collectors and common people. And there were even some of the sorts of the people that no one would want to associate with, the lower class of people. But it said this, it said they took note of this, that they had been with Jesus. There was something about those 120 people back there on the day of Pentecost that if you'd have been around, you would have had to have set up and said, there's something different about these people. They've got something. And if you'd have been hungry for God at all, you'd had to have said, I want to be where those 120 are. And then when the Holy Ghost came in and the Holy Ghost was poured out on those 120 on the day of Pentecost, it says that's when a nation was born in a day. That's when a woman gave birth without travail. And that's when the day of the Lord started back there, that early rain church. And then Peter got up and he preached that wonderful message. And 3,000 souls that day came in. I believe they got the Holy Ghost. I believe they got water baptized and they were added to the body of Christ. And it says the next day there were 5,000. You talk about 120 people being able to change 8,000 to affect their lives. I've often wondered if we had 200 people come in here today, could we do it? Well, I'm afraid we would have problems. I've seen, sometimes we have problems with just each other, let alone people coming in from out of the world, not knowing nothing about God, coming in trying to change us. It's hard when there's a great move of the Spirit of God, when God is really drawing his people. That's why he had to prepare those 120 people. That's why God had to turn them into a garner for the precious fruit down there that God was going to harvest, which was those Jews down there that God had been working on for 2,000 years. God had to prepare their hearts and put something down inside of them so that they had enough authority. They had enough power of God. They had enough understanding of God that the God and all of the third heaven angels would stand behind those people. Why, even Peter walking down the street past the gate called Beautiful, his shadow falling upon people, they were healed. And I thought, why? What a manifestation. God reaching out to those people back there. And there was this young man, and Jesus did a lot of things back there too, trying to get the attention of the people. He preached to them some hard things. One time he preached to 5,000 men besides the women and the children. And he broke the bread and they gathered, they took that little boy's lunch and blessed it and prayed over it and broke it and gave it to the 12 apostles and it fed the 5,000 besides the women and children. And he preached a wonderful message saying, except you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you have no life in you. And they all turned away saying, this is a hard saying. Who can receive this? But Jesus did all those things, the people that he healed. There was a lot of types and there was a lot of shadows, just like in the book of Hebrews, it said those things happened to those people back there to help us. Jesus was doing whatever he could. In fact, Jesus said this. He said, John the Baptist came neither eating or drinking, preaching the kingdom of heaven. And you say, he has a devil. And then he said, the Son of Man comes both eating and drinking. And you say, he is a glutton and a wine bibber. He said, therefore, wisdom is justified of her children. See, God tried any way that he could. And he's doing that today. God is reaching out to the people any way that he could. He sent John the Baptist in one manifestation. And he sent Jesus over here in another manifestation. And the people that rejected that, and there's one place he says, when you rejected the baptism of John, would you find that, please? He said, when you rejected the baptism of John, and I can't get it quite right, what's the rest of it? Somebody help me here. I believe it says, you rejected the counsel of God when you rejected John's baptism. Well, that was God's counsel that was being manifest in the world back there. And it says, therefore, wisdom is justified of her children. Those people who rejected the manifestation, the different manifestations, the different way God is trying to reach people back there, they rejected it, and they judged themselves unworthy of the kingdom of heaven. They were justified. God was justified in bringing judgment upon that Jewish nation. He told those 12 apostles, he said, you will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I used to think that would happen when we all died and when we went to heaven. I just pictured some thrones, and I wasn't exactly sure. I knew the Lord was going to be sitting on a throne, but somewhere up there, there was going to be some more thrones, and somebody's going to get judged. But I found out that that happened back there. That happened back there during the time of Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and Bartholomew, and Timothy, and Titus, all those wonderful men and women of God, that God set up a judgment seat because he was had a full manifestation. If you couldn't get saved under that manifestation of God, where God told those 12 men, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and whoso sins you remit, they are remitted. I'm telling you, if you couldn't come in and then watch all the wonderful things that, don't you know there had to be a fear come upon those people back there where Ananias and Sapphira, after the church got started, there was persecution, and they were trying to take care of the Grecian widows and the Jewish widows. And so people were selling property, and it says they came and they laid it at the feet of the apostles. And in the apostles, they took care of the needs of the people. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they did the same thing, but they lied. They held back a certain part, which it would have been okay. It would have been okay if they would have went to Peter and said, look, we sold some land, and we sold it for 10 shekels, and we're going to keep 3, and we're going to give you 7. Would have been no problem. But when there's a full manifestation, when there is what the Bible calls a white throne judgment, during a time where you can make the bride, brother, those people are in a, they're in a higher plane than we are. It's in a place called paradise. We're striving to get back into that place like Peter, James, and John were. We aren't there yet. We're going that way. That church fell out of that condition, and God's bringing us back to, we're going to have another full manifestation of God down here. But Ananias and Sapphira, they told Peter, well, we sold it for so much, and here it is. And of course, you know the story. They lied. Peter said, you haven't lied to me, but you've lied to the Holy Ghost. And Ananias, and then later Sapphira, they dropped dead. And I thought, you know, I've known some men of God that I knew the Spirit of God was manifest in their life, wonderful preachers, but there's been a lot worse things we've done to them than just lie to them about how much we sold a piece of property for. I've seen people, I've heard stories. I think it was Brother Leninger. Somebody just came up one time when he was preaching and slapped his jaw just as hard as they could. Is that right? I heard that story like that, and he took it right. I've heard stories of wonderful men of God who've really been abused by people, and they took it the right way. Well, those people never did fall dead. They didn't fall dead. That's because God is still working on a people. You know, when I first got saved, they told me the church has fallen away, and I thought, oh, God, help us. If this is the condition of the church now and it's getting worse, I came in way too late. But I found out if you go and you read these scriptures and you study them, for some people it may appear that the church has fallen away, but the Bible says there's going to be a restoration, that there's going to be a manifestation of that same power of God down here that was able to judge those people down there that you read about in the book of Acts, that was able to judge them worthy for an entrance to be made into heaven for them, that they might be caught up into that paradise condition. We call that temple worship. Go on behind the veil where the sevenfold light is, and the altar of incense, and the altar of showbread. All those things, those are types and shadows of what we can expect when God fully manifest his church down there. But there was this young man, he had friends, and he was lame from birth. He couldn't walk, and so they put him on a bed, and they took him to the house where Jesus was preaching. They took him up on the house, and they tore the roof off. They lowered him down, and no doubt the people, they heard a noise. You know, that must have been amazing. They heard noise up there and up on the roof, and it wasn't the kind of roof like what we have. A lot of it was kind of, it wasn't concrete, but it had sticks and boards and stuff, and they'd put mud over it, and they'd put hay over top of that. And a lot of times you would live in the heat of the summer seasons. You would sleep up on the roof. You would store your grain up on the roof. You would do a lot of things up on your roof. And so it wasn't an easy thing to tear off the roof, you know, not like just taking a few shingles off, but they probably had pickaxes, and they had saws, and they had hammers, and they really went to town. And Jesus probably quit preaching. He probably thought, well, he knew what was going on, but everybody probably thought, what is happening here? Is it an earthquake? Pretty soon there was a little hole that opened up, and here came this bed. This man's friends, they lowered him down in his bed, and he was lame from his mother's birth. And Jesus, now there was a lot of amazing things that he did, but Jesus picked these certain particular healings and miracles to show people, to help them. He was trying to show them. Did you know that when the Bible shows that you're lame, that shows that your foundation is not strong? That just meant that they were needing something more in God than what they had. And so here came this young man showing the condition of that Jewish church back there, that they were lame. They were not able to stand on their own two feet. Of course, Jesus healed that young man, and he got up, and Jesus told him, he said, take your bed. All those things, they're types and shadows. A bed is a resting place. You can even show it as a church. You know, there can be a good bed, but then there can also be a bed where the bed's too short and the covers. You know, you can't pull the covers up. Did you ever try to sleep on a little old tiny bed, maybe a baby's bed or something? You know, or maybe you have a baby blanket that's only about 5 foot long. And, well, if you're a little kid, that works fine. But if you're a full-grown adult, you got to hunker up, and you got that little baby blanket. And if it's cold, you just spend a miserable night. But he was trying to show the Jews the condition that they had got themselves into during the time of Christ. And that's why all those people, when they heard the preaching of Christ, they got up and they left, because they said, this is a hard saying. Who can receive it? One time, a man came to Jesus, and he had a withered hand. And Jesus told him to stretch out his hand, and his hand was healed. That was just showing that the ministry back there of that Jewish church back there, that it was a withered hand. It wasn't able to grasp. It wasn't able to work. But Jesus showed that I'm going to build a church. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said, I came to build a church, and that's what he was going to do. So all those people on the day of Pentecost, there was a great ingathering, and the power of God was manifested like the Jews had never seen before. Jesus, one time before he was crucified, they were walking through a barley field. And Jesus said, you say it's yet 3 months to the barley harvest. And they're probably thinking, well, yeah, that's right, 3 months to the barley harvest. He said, but I say, lift up your eyes and look onto the fields, for they're white already on the harvest. He wasn't talking about natural barley, but when he looked out at all those Jewish people there that God had been working on for 2,000 years, he said, the fields, they're ready to harvest. He said, therefore, pray ye to the Lord of the harvest that he might send laborers into the field. Little did they know that. And later Jesus told them, he said, you're going to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And they did that for that 30 years, while that church was being manifest with the full manifestation. Paul said, I haven't failed to deliver on to you the whole counsel of God. In fact, in one place, Paul said, I didn't come to you with great swelling words of men. He said, but I came to you in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, it was working down there, moving on men's hearts and women's hearts, causing them and drawing them. Did you know if you're here tonight, it's because the Holy Ghost moved across your heart If you, when you came to the altar to get saved, it wasn't that you just decided one day that you're going to go get saved. It's because God drew you through the Holy Ghost. God had to draw you. It's not in man's heart to do that, but it takes God moving over your heart, drawing you and calling your name for you to come down. I remember when I got saved, my mom made me go to church. The last thing I wanted to do was go to church. I wanted to run around with my friends. I was 16, and I thought, this is the silliest thing I've ever seen. Go to church for an hour or two and listen to somebody talk and sing some songs. I was bored stiff. I'd sit there and I'd be thinking, well, what am I going to do tonight after I get out of here? What am I going to do tomorrow? I didn't even want to be there. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God started calling my name, and I felt something tugging at the strings in my heart. And when there was an altar call, I went down there at the age of 16. It's because God was just merciful to me. I wasn't seeking after God when I went to church. My mom made me go there, but God was seeking after me. So God was drawing all those Jews down there. And he said there was the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And then Paul said this. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, there's power in the Word of God. There's going to be a manifestation. There's going to be a great fear come upon God's people before too long, because God's going to be manifest through the Word, through the Spirit of God, and then through his fivefold ministry, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. In fact, I think, is it in Obadiah or is it in Amos, the 8th chapter? He said he had horns coming out of his hand. That's a fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And there was the hiding of his power. If you want to find God's power, get in as close as you can to his ministry. Get in the hub of it. Get in the palm of God's hand. Just let that encircle you. And there was a full manifestation of the gifts of the ministry back there. So those men back there for 30 years, there was a church like has not been seen. Just like it says in Joel, the 2nd chapter, that he said that it was a great army. And he said, the like has never been seen unto many generations. But thank God, he said that there's coming another one. There is going to be one down here. There was a great span of place, a great span of time. Paul, on the way back to Jerusalem, he told those men and women in Ephesus, he told them, he said, after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in. They knew that the church was going to fall away. They knew that it was not going to be able to stay in that place where it was. Can you imagine the heartbreak of the men and women of God, knowing that this great manifestation of God, this great white throne judgment, was going to fall out of that heavenly place and fall back down into a earthly, sensual, devilish place until finally there was nothing left except that pale horse. For 1260 years, it says death followed behind that. The rider of that pale horse was death. And there wasn't any life. In fact, it said the two witnesses, the Word of God, the Old and New Testament, lay dead in the street of Jerusalem, which was the church, the city of God, for 1260 years, or for 3.5 years, 1260 years. Until finally it said there was a great voice that thundered out of heaven and commanded that those the two witnesses, the Old and the New Testament, and they stood upon their feet and they ascended up into heaven. And Brother Thompson, not last Sunday, I think, but the Sunday before, he started talking about how God has been leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills. Since the time of the restoration, God has been making himself more and more manifest to his people, starting out with Martin Luther, with the manifestation of this truth that the just shall live by faith back in the early 1500s, and how then Wesleyan, John and Charles Wesley, how they expanded upon that sanctification. They saw that it was going to take more than just living by faith. It was going to take sanctification, and how John Calvin came along with the doctrine of baptism and how God has been revealing himself. You can see him for the last 600 years. going, skipping on the mountains and leaping on the hills. The voice of our beloved, it says, behold, he cometh. He's coming down this way. And there's a greater manifestation today than there was 500 or 600 years ago. We have a lot more knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. The Holy Ghost was restored a little over 100 years ago. That was a great manifestation. And God is getting the people ready. He's getting a ministry ready. He's building a garner down here so that he might manifest his love to the whole world, so that all that would come into the garner. And there's going to be a harvest down here. It's finally going to get to the place where if Jesus were here, he would say, don't say it's yet 3 months to the barley harvest. He says, but don't you see that God's been doing something for these last 2,000 years since the falling away of the early rain church down there? God's been working and laboring. God's been approaching. He's been revealing himself. He says, behold, he standeth on the other side of the lattice revealing himself. There's been times we've smelt that wonderful ointment of him coming closer to us and becoming more acquainted with him, until finally there's going to be a full manifestation down here, just like it was in the early rain church. That excites me. I still have that hope today, Sister Crow. That's what set me on fire 29 years ago when I came this way, to know that God's restoring the church. Others may think this has fallen away, but I'm telling you, the goodness of God is being restored. The power of God's being restored, until finally there's going to be thrones down here, white thrones, pure thrones. White is just the righteousness of the saints, which is God manifest through his people as we become more like him, as he starts to form himself down inside of us, as we start to take on the Spirit of Christ, not the Holy Ghost, but the Spirit of Christ, which is Jesus Christ. When we start to do things the way he did it, when our mind starts to get transformed, when we start to have that same mind, Paul said this, let that same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. When you have that same mind, then you have the Spirit of Christ. You'll do things like Christ would. You'll react, you'll respond to God the way Christ would. You'll respond to situations from people in the world just like Christ would. I'm longing for that Spirit to be formed out inside of me. There's still things when I look down inside, I think, oh my, I've got such a long way to go. But I believe God's working on a people today. I'm thankful for the body. I'm thankful that he brought me here to the body. It's quite a operation that we're working on. And I appreciate what Brother Smith had to say a week ago, is that God saw something special in each one of you, that he would bring you here to the Little Rock Church to start to make a foundation, to start to make a garner. Do you know one day it's going to be easier for people to come in? You know, there's been people been working on this foundation, been working on this garner, the storehouse for God's precious fruit. They've been working on this. God's been working on it for 100 years, and some have died. Some have died not having received the promise. I believe they're going to be resurrected. But saints, I'm telling you, God, he sees something special down inside of you, that you have a mind to work. That's what it said about Ezra and Nehemiah. When he took those 102,000 people and out of Babylon to go rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. They had rebuilt the temple, but there was no safety for the people of God. That's what God's building today. Just like he had to build a wall around natural Jerusalem after it had been torn down by Nebuchadnezzar, God sent Nehemiah with all those men and women to build the wall. God's building a wall of safety around Jerusalem today. The temple, the body of Christ, God's building walls around to protect us. But it said that people had a mind to work. God's brought you here because he sees that you got a mind to work, and he can take what's down inside of you, and he can build a garner. He can build a foundation, and he knows that it's going to be a sure foundation. And we're finally going to get to the place where, Sister Crow, one of these days when we have 300 people come in, they ain't going to change us. We'll have enough of the Spirit of God. We'll have enough of the Spirit of Christ down inside of us. We'll have enough of the Word of God and enough of the manifestation of the power of God through his ministry, that they're going to come in and we're going to change them. They're going to be affected by us, and they're going to come in, and they're going to get the Holy Ghost, and they're going to go through that process and move out alive. So I'm thankful tonight for everything God's done for us. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful that we have people like Brother Smith that labors in word and doctrine, and he's been imputing that onto us, giving it to us, and all these the several years he's been working on the Book of Revelations. I hope you've been getting some things out of there. It's helped me. It's been helping my vision to see where we are in the time frame of God and what God's doing. Hope you can see that God is restoring the church. That God is going to have a church down here. Let's don't lose that hope. That's what Brother Souders, that was his vision, was the restoration of the church and charity. So I'm thankful to be here tonight. I appreciate all of you. And while I'm up, I'd like to receive the offering and take up prayer requests. Let's pray for Sister Smith. She's really, really sick. Sister Elsie. They're what? Whole family sick. There's something going around. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of people are sick right now. Let's pray for them. Who else had their hand up? Sister Fisher. All right. Pray for Sister Wilkins, wonderful saint of God. Pray God would touch her. Brother Johnson. All right. DJ, and for Brother Dodson. Sister Carrie and the kids are sick. All right. Well, let's pray for them. All right. Oh, Sister Crow. Both Brother and Sister Crow are suffering in their bodies. Let's pray for them. Sister Donna. I'm sorry. Special unspoken prayer request. We could probably all raise our hands for a special unspoken prayer request. Sister Reba, would you raise your hand? Vanderbombs. Let's pray for their 6-year-old daughter. Open heart surgery. Let's pray for this little girl. Oh, Sister McGowan. Sister Wilson. Oh, Brother Stewart. Not this weekend, but the weekend after. Okay. Yeah. All right, why don't we stand? Let's take these prayer requests to the Lord, and then we'll receive your tithes and your offerings and your missionary offerings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, we're so thankful. Lord, that you're manifesting your love to us. God, that we can feel you. That you're not a God made of brick and stone and wood, that we can feel fill you, your spirit, God, and you've been able to affect our life. And Lord, we want to bring all these prayer requests up before you. Lord, we want to pray for Sister Wilson, God, and Sister Wilkins. God, touch their bodies. Give them strength, God. Help them. Brother and Sister Crow, Lord. Brother Dotson, Brother DJ, Lord. Help them, Jesus. God, touch their bodies. Raise them up. Encourage them, God. And Brother Stewart, his business, Lord, bless them mightily this next weekend at his show, God. Help them and bless them, Lord. Sister Donna's unspoken prayer requests and all these other prayer requests, Lord. And this is Vanderbond baby in Wichita. Touch this little baby, Lord. The six-year-old child. Help with their heart condition, Lord. Touch Sister Smith, God. Help her. Raise her up, God. Encourage her. Help her. God, oh God, for Sister Golden and the kids, Lord, touch them. Strengthen them, God. Glory to God. Lord, all these other requests, Lord, you know what each one of us here need and what we desire, Lord, and what you'd have for our lives, God. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this offering. God, use it for your kingdom. Glory to God. All right. Hallelujah. You can be seated.
really appreciate the Lord and what he's done for me. And when I stop and think of all of the things that's going on in the world, I think, Lord, I'm so happy that you have showed me this way and that there is peace in the Lord. We can find peace regardless of all the storms that's raging. We can always find peace in the Lord, and I'm so thankful for that tonight. And I thought, Lord, many times I pray, Lord, help us to all appreciate this more than what we do, you know. I know we do appreciate it, but we can appreciate it a little bit more. We can always do a little bit better. So I'm thankful tonight for all that the Lord is doing for us. And I know the journey is getting close. It's getting close to an end. And we're all talking about a restored church. And like I told Brother Durham was talking before church, I said, well, we're talking about a restored church. We're going to have to get busy. There's a lot of things we got to do, you know, and make ready and all. Because I know that, we've been around a long time, and we know what it's going to take to make it. We just know. And if we want to go, we just got to get busy. That's all. I mean, I know that by myself. I know that. And I think about it a lot. And I think, Lord, you've been so good to us. And I like to face reality and just think about it. Lord, this is a great way. This is a great way to know that the God of heaven looked down and touched our hearts when we could have been no telling where, doing no telling what. But I thank God that he opened my eyes and let me to see this wonderful way. And I often think when I look at people, I wonder, what hope do you have? Do you study about your hope? What have you got your hope in? But I'm glad tonight that we have our hope in the Lord. Brother Jeff, we've got something to hang on to and something that will take us on if we'll just hold on to it and make the sacrifice. And I was talking about sacrifices. This is a sacrificing way. This is a wonderful way, but sometimes it's not beautiful. And yet in another way it is beautiful, if you understand what I'm talking about. But it's a sacrificing way. And I was kidding when I come in tonight. Of course, I was kidding, but I meant what I said. I said, if you don't make some sacrifices, there's something wrong somewhere. We've just got to make sacrifices because this is a sacrificing way. Just think what Jesus did for us. He did a great thing. And I thought, well, that he gave his life. Now we got to give ours. We've got to give up this Adamic nature, the thing that will drag us down. But I'm so glad that we have an understanding of that. A lot of people say, oh, well, you know, you can't worry about that. That's just the natural. Well, sure, it's the natural, but you got to get rid of that. No. But they don't take it that way, see. But anyway, I'm so thankful for the things that we are learning and how to live for God and be real and genuine for the Lord and not to be good today and somewhere or the tomorrow, but really live it. Really be what the Lord would have us to be. And I know that it's a straight path, but we've got to walk on it. So tonight, that's the way I see it. How about you? So anyway, that's just the way we've been taught, and we've had some strict teaching. I mean, I've sat under some strict teachers. I mean to tell you, really, they were strict, but I appreciate it. I appreciate it so much. Just like, for instance, when I grew up, my parents, they loved us, but back in the days when I grew up, you minded. You didn't talk back to your parents or things like that. Brother, if you did, you'd get it. But they loved us, but they wanted us to be good children. My dad always said, he said, I want you to be honest. I want you to be hard workers. And I mean, he succeeded in doing things like that. So that's the way of the Lord. He wants us to be the type of children that he'd have us to be. We're going to have to be to fit in his kingdom. And so I know that we can't get by in any less. I mean, I see the price tag. I know what it's going to take. We all do if we see. And we've got eyes to see, so do we see. If we don't, well, we better start getting them open because, after all, there's a lot to see, a lot to do. So tonight, I really appreciate the Lord, and I tell him, I really talk to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I really appreciate that you brought me to the kingdom. Let me to see. I'm not a smart person, real smart person, but I'm glad I'm smart enough to see this. And all that, a lot of people smarter than I am, they don't see it, so I feel pretty good about that. I wish they could see it too, but anyway, they got the same chance to see it as I do. So anyway, God is so good, and I appreciate him so much. And I know that as we journey on, the Lord's going to bless us more, encourage us more, and help us. And I thought, well, I know I won't be living to see the restored church, but it would be a wonderful thing. But anyway, I'm going to enjoy everything I can while I can. So when I can't, well, I'll just say goodbye, hallelujah, I'm gone. I'll see you on the other side. So anyway, God is so good, and I appreciate him so much.
Me and Sister Crow's going. And the rest of us too, aren't we? Brother Harlan's going too. Yeah. Brother Dodson, you're going, ain't you? He's going. I appreciate this church so much. Let's continue to pray for one another this week. I have a few announcements, and I need a show of hands. Who all is planning on going? I'm going to be in Dallas. My wife and I and Sister Ruth are going to be in Dallas this weekend. Get to go to Brother Kennedy's church and be with the saints of God down there. But Brother Coles, we're going to his church. He's having a meeting for us Saturday at 11 o'clock. It's only an hour and a half drive, 2 hours at the most, but usually an hour and a half drive. Who I was planning on going Saturday? Let me see a show of hands. I'd like to see. Hold them up for a bit. We got, you got three. Okay, hold them up again. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Is anyone interested? How many people would want to go in a church van? Let me see a show of hands. If we get enough people, we'll take the church van. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You want to go in a church van? 8. All right, well, 8 or 9, I think. 8 or 9 of you will want to go in a church van. Brother Smith called me right before church, and he said if there's enough interest, he said if there's just 2 or 3 people, we won't take the church van. But I think 8 or 9 people, he would take the church van. So let's do this. If you're gonna go in the church van, or if you want to follow the church van Saturday, it's gonna leave here at 9 o'clock. All right, so you got to be here. If you show up at 9:10, the bus will be gone. So be here before 9 o'clock, and then if you want to follow the church bus, that's fine. If you're going and you don't, you're going to drive your own car, if you have a GPS, you can punch this address in for Brother Cole's church. It's 159 Highway 70 East, and that's in Glenwood, Arkansas. And him and his wife and Brother Aaron, they've been down here so many times. We're heavily obligated, so I'm glad there's a lot of us going. I think you'll enjoy it. So let's go and try and be a blessing to them. Brother Smith will be there. Yes? Dollar store. Okay. It's a small church. Huh? Yeah. So if you've never been there before, you might want to just follow the church bus. That'd be fine. So remember, we're leaving here at 9 o'clock. The singing is going to be the 27th of this month. So start practicing. That's a Saturday. We're going to have it at 7 o'clock. Brother Smith said we'll have sandwiches and some snacks after the singing. Invite people. I always enjoy, what's that black woman's name that does the poems? Who? Harden, Sister Harden. Harden. Yeah, we need to get her over here. I enjoy her so much. She's just got the best spirit about her, doesn't she? So let's invite people, you know, in-laws and outlaws and neighbors and people we work with, and tell them, come on, and we'll even feed you after the singing. So no men's breakfast, prayer breakfast this Saturday because of the Glenwood service. Brother Stewart. Yes. Okay, I couldn't hear y'all. I don't know. I'll tell Brother Smith. Well, of course, Brother Smith knows that it's at your house, doesn't he? You don't think he knows? Okay. Well, I'll text him and I'll let him know that the van is at your house and he needs to. Okay. Well, I'll let Brother Smith know it's your house and he'll get it somehow. Or you may just have to run it over there to them, if maybe tomorrow or something, or may have to. 11 o'clock. Don't know. If it's a real good one, it could stretch all day. Or it may just last an hour. I thank Brother. I'm not sure. I don't know if they're going to have anything prepared for us afterwards or not. All right. Aren't you glad you came to church? Brother Crow and I and Sister Crow, we were talking. I said, this is just the kind of way where you got to buy the truth and then don't sell it. Hang on to it with all that you got. Paul said, lay hold on eternal life. That's what he's talking about. Sell it not. So we've been buying the truth. Hope you're holding on to it. Hope you count it precious and important in your life. Put it up there where it needs to be, in front of everything, in front of your husband, in front of your wife, in front of your job, in front of your family, in front of your car, in front of everything. Let's make God the most important thing in our life. So, well, let's stand and let's thank God, and let's ask him to go with us this week, and then let's really ask if God would send somebody our way. You know, wouldn't you like to win somebody to the Lord, bring somebody into the body of Christ? I think that'd be wonderful. You know, we got a message that people are longing for. We just got to search those people out. And that's what the Bible says. We got to search them out. He said he would send hunters to hunt out the people of God, and he would send fishermen to fish them out. Let's learn to be hunters and fishers for the people of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy, God. God, go with us this week. God, use us in a great way, Lord. Put a desire down in our heart, God, to be a light, a shining light set on the hill, to be a lamp in the room, God, that would give us light to all that are in the room. Lord, keep your hand on us this week. Touch us, God. Give us a greater hunger, a greater desire for your people and for your vision, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen.